This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Being a sister to him made me who I was. Losing him has made me who I am.
That's writer Kelly Klink talking about her brother, Matt. His suicide in 2004 sent her on a journey of guilt, mourning, of realizing that her brother was gone and feeling that she may have been to blame. Kelly has turned this very emotional journey into a new memoir, A Different Kind of Same. Kelly's earliest years were spent in Detroit and Livonia. She has family in Michigan, and those years and the time in Michigan left a lasting impact on her. Kelly Klink, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your book opens right up with a big gut punch. Your brother, Matt, took his own life on the last day of April 2004. Was there any advance warning or any sign that in retrospect you feel, gee, I missed something?
There was only one thing, and he was a student at the time, just about to finish his undergraduate degree at Rutgers. And I had spoken to him earlier that week, and he told me that he didn't do his final exam. It was a take-home, but he just didn't do it. And I said, why? Why didn't you do that? Oh, I don't know, is what he said. And I looked back and I thought, oh, well, I think he just knew he didn't need to, so.
And take us to when you found that out.
So my parents, we didn't find out until the next day, actually. The police in New Jersey contacted the police in Alabama, where my parents were living at the time. And they came to my parents' house and told them in person. And my parents called me on the phone, and they actually woke me up. It was a Saturday. They woke me up on Saturday morning and told me over the phone.
And your book is so honest and takes us through that combination of numbness and emotional devastation that Matt's suicide took on you and your parents. And we so often hear about the guilt that family members feel after a loved one has committed suicide. And your guilt turns out to be compounded by the fact that you had struggled with depression and you had made a suicide gesture when you were a teen.
Yes, I was a few years older than my brother, and I actually was diagnosed with depression first and attempted suicide when I was 16 years old and my brother was 13. And so after he died, you know, I really felt like I had maybe led by example, and I was very concerned that my own struggles with depression and my own suicide attempt had informed the way that he dealt with his diagnosis of bipolar disorder and his bouts of depression.
So Kelly, how did you come to terms with all of that, with the guilt and the grief and with wondering maybe if you would be the next to take your own life?
Well, I did a lot of therapy. I think a big change for me in the way that I viewed everything was, I started meditating. I got into mindfulness and I read a lot about spirituality, and I was able to look at my own depression and my own experiences with a lot of compassion. And then I was able to look at my brother, and his death with compassion. And I was able to heal and sort of just give myself space to be who I was, where I was, what I was feeling. I don't think the guilt and the grief, they don't ever completely go away, but you make peace with them and you learn to live with them and you get to a place where you can sort of invite them in and let them be part of the story, and everything just softens.
Softens, yeah, interesting. And that there takes a lot of work to get there. And I'm wondering how long it took before you began to think of this whole saga as something that you wanted to write about and you wanted to share with the world.
So I knew right away that I wanted to write about it, because for me, writing has always been the way that I've processed things. But it did take probably about 2 years before I actually started writing. And then it took maybe 4 years to get the first draft of the manuscript. And by that point, there was some distance. You know, the more you write about it, the more you sort of touch into those feelings and memories and that grief. it actually becomes softer and easier to deal with. So it was really difficult and painful, but at the same time, continuing to work with it just made it easier. And I think there's been a lot of studies done about, you know, working with people who have PTSD, the same thing, the more you can access those memories and the less threatening they become. Now sharing it with the world, that was a completely different, you know, I tried not to think about it. I wrote for years and years, and there were small pieces that were published in literary magazines. And I think that was a nice way to get my feet wet. And then, you know, the response from my friends and family, and even from people that I don't know, has just been so amazing and so supportive. And it's just really reaffirmed my decision to share this story. And I think it's an important story, and it, you know, breaks a lot of ice that's out there in terms of people speaking about mental illness and suicide. There are so many people who've said, wow, I have a similar story. You know, my brother died, or my father died, or my college roommate. Even people who don't know anyone directly, they know someone who knows someone. So this is a topic that just, it ripples out. It touches so many people. And the more we talk about it, I think the better for people who are grieving and also people who are living with mental illness and maybe considering suicide.
I wondered if you'd read us just a bit of your book. It's the book, A Different Kind of Same, Kelly Klink's memoir. And this is your memories of your childhood in Michigan before your folks packed up and moved you down south. I wondered if you could share that with us.
Yes, absolutely. For me, the childhood Matt and I shared began when we moved a dozen or so miles outside of Detroit into the house on Haller Street in Livonia, and ended 6 years later when, at the age of 12, I became all-knowing, all-mature, and mortified by my family. But from the time I was 6 to the time I was 11, life was about as close to perfect as it could be. Those years have merged into a mass of popsicles and Kool-Aid, the rainbow at the edge of the sprinkler, and sticky sweet smell of mulberries ripening in the sun. Saturday morning cartoons and roller skating in the basement. Clouds of charcoal smoke and picnic tables piled with potato salad. Hide and seek, pop up, rain on the roof, and Foursquare. The crunch of leaves beneath our shoes and the thunk of candy into a plastic pumpkin pail. The tangy smell of burning branches and the sparkle of a frost-sprayed lawn. Turkey, stuffing, and football. Snow, a shared sled on a small but thrilling slope. The morning dark and the scrape of shovels. Powdered diamonds glittering under the street lamp. Red faces, wet feet, hot chocolate. Tiny purple flowers beaded with ice. Flares of crimson chests against a gray sky melting blue. Blankets of fallen buds on the sidewalks. And the trees whispering to us again. Of course, those years weren't perfect. There were fights with friends, fights with each other, punishments, problems at school, and dead hamsters and goldfish. But for whatever reason, those memories are separate, flung far by the dervish of myth. Perhaps edited out to justify my rage after Dad got a new job and we moved to Alabama just before my sophomore year of high school. The absolute good of Michigan, to balance my teenage pronouncement of the absolute evil of the South.
That's Kelly Klink reading from her new memoir, A Different Kind of Same, telling the journey that she and her family took after her brother Matt committed suicide in 2004. How important, Kelly, do you think it is for us to stop tiptoeing and really face up to and talk about suicide and depression and bipolar disease and other mental health issues?
It's hugely important. Talking is what will lessen the stigma. I think so. The silence feeds the stigma. The less we talk about it, the more afraid we are to talk about it. And it can be a really uncomfortable topic, but I think the more we talk about it, the easier it becomes to talk about it. And that's just going to, I think, be what changes the way that people are treated medically and socially, people who have mental illness.
What are you hoping that the people who pick up your book and read it, or you're going to be in Ann Arbor Saturday night, July 11th at Literati, talking about your book and signing it, talking about suicide prevention and mental health and finding hope after loss. What do you hope you will be able to give your readers through this book?
I hope that people see it's possible to recover from a loss by suicide. I hope that people see it's possible to make peace with a diagnosis of mental illness and to live a full life, because this book isn't just about the loss of my brother. It's also about coming to terms with my own diagnosis of depression and, you know, being able to live a full life with that.
We began with the quote, "Being a sister to Matt made me who I was. Losing him has made me who I am." How are those two me's different?
Wow. It's, I feel like a completely different person since I lost my brother. And of course, it's hard to say what's just growing up, because I was so young. I was only 24 when he died. And what has to do with loss. But I feel like the me that I was before my brother died was somebody who was afraid to talk about feelings, afraid that she would be judged, afraid that people wouldn't want to be friends with her or wouldn't love her because she was broken. I thought I was broken. After my brother died, I did that work. I did the work of grieving, and I came to see that I needed to be who I was, and that most people would accept me for who I was and would not see my depression as a weakness, were not judging me. And I was able to that way just really live for the first time in my life, and to live compassionately, and to open myself up, and also make space for other people to open themselves up as well.
Kelly Klink's memoir is A Different Kind of Same. And Kelly will be in Ann Arbor at Literati Bookstore on East Washington this coming Saturday, July 11th at 7 p.m. And you can find out more at her website, kellyklink.com. And that's kellyklink.com. Kelly, thank you so much for talking with us and for your book.
Thank you.